This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, back again. Shady's back, tell a friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcasts. And the podcast is available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. We'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in about 30 minutes. Plenty to do between now and then. Talk about the toughest schedules in the NFL this year and what the NFL does so well. Also, who is the third best team in the SEC this season? We'll get to that coming up. And a lot more over the next hour. You can always get in touch with the show. Head over to charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page. Leave a comment there. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on the phones as well, 843-721-9500. Closed out last hour talking about ice cream trucks and the famed Choco Taco. I think that'd be high up in the most people's power rankings of the best thing you could get from an ice cream truck. And yet, sadly, the tradition has not carried on as it's being discontinued. Announced this week after 40 years of being made by Klondike. The poor Choco Taco. Grab one while you still can before they evidently disappear for good, it seems. Hey, earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, we were talking about Mike Sando. Every year for The Athletic does an interesting ranking of quarterbacks in the NFL. And he puts the quarterbacks in different tiers, and he does it based off of a poll he does with various people in the NFL, coaches, executives, and they rank all the different quarterbacks. And then Mike gets that data, and he puts the different quarterbacks into different tiers. And we spent some time on that earlier this week, and it's always an interesting article. But what's also interesting is what comes from said article. And so they always follow that up by then taking those tiers of quarterbacks and looking at each team's NFL schedule. Because we know how important and valuable quarterbacks are. And so if you have to face a lot of good quarterbacks, it makes your schedule even tougher. So The Athletic put that list together. They released the article today looking at which NFL teams face the toughest schedules. And this is based off of simply the quarterbacks that they have to go up against, which is probably the best way to do it because, again, if you have a good quarterback, you got a pretty good team. Hard to beat good quarterbacks. Couple of takeaways from this. First, let me give you the order. We're not going to run through the whole league, but if you look at the top of the list, the Chiefs actually have the toughest quarterback schedule in terms of quarterbacks they are facing. The Titans sit at number two. Then you have the Broncos at three, of course, in that tough division. The Rams are fourth. The Raiders are fifth. You also have the Chargers that are seventh. They're in the top ten. You have the Niners are ninth. The Patriots are tenth. Then you get to the Atlanta Falcons at 11. So on and so forth. You can go find the full ranking at The Athletic. A couple of takeaways, though, from this ranking, this idea. Number one, of course, some of the better teams are higher up on this list because this is what the NFL does. When you win your division, you play a first-place schedule. If you finish last place in your division, you face a last-place schedule. It's the difference between the NFL and college football. I said it earlier today. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Right? That the NFL is designed to have that parity, to have those surprises, to put everybody on a level playing field, to try to keep from experiencing what we just did with the Patriots for 20 years. They make it really hard on you. You pick at the end of the rounds. You're at the back of the waiver wire. You get the tougher schedule. And yet, the Patriots kept winning, which is why they were so impressive in what they were able to do. It is hard to sustain long-term success in the NFL because, well, the league, they make it challenging for you. College football, it's the opposite. They make it easier for the better teams. They make it harder for the teams that aren't quite as good. It's a lot harder to close that gap. Alabama, they just continue to get the best players. They get to make the easiest schedule. they're already put into the top five preseason. Right? They're given the benefit of the doubt. Maybe there's even a little favoritism along the way in various things with Alabama. They can spend more money on coaching staff, so on and so forth. The NFL, it's the opposite. So, with that said, when you look at the NFL again, right, you have the Chiefs, number one. The Titans, number two. The Broncos now at Russell Wilson, number three on this list. The Rams, who just won the Super Bowl, number four. No breaks for the top teams. No, you're going to be challenged. You're going to play the toughest schedules. The Raiders are number five. They were a playoff team with Derek Carr. You got the Chargers, number seven. Good team. You got the Niners, NFC Conference Championship game from a year ago. They're number nine. Patriots are a playoff team. They're number 10. Right? The good teams, you're going to be challenged. It's not going to be a cakewalk this year. It's only going to get harder. Meanwhile, if you go to the bottom of the list, the teams with the easiest schedules, based off of the quarterbacks they're facing. The Washington Commanders, who had a losing record last year, they're 32nd. The Philadelphia Eagles did make the playoffs last year. They're 31st. The Bears are 30th. Giants, 29th. Lions, 28th. Then, of course, the Packers, who always seem to get scheduling breaks, they're 27th. But also towards the back end, the Vikings, who missed the playoffs. The Colts missed the playoffs. The Panthers are 22nd, so they're in the bottom 10. You get the idea. Right, a lot of bad teams are at the bottom of this list where they have some easier schedules. A lot of good teams are towards the top of the list where they have some tougher schedules. That's by design. The other great thing about this is something I said earlier, that I think football is only as healthy as the quarterbacks. College football is only as healthy as the top-end quarterback talent that you can watch each week. Same with the NFL. It's why the AAF and the XFL and all these other leagues fail. Quarterbacks aren't good enough. The NFL, you would be less interested if it's a bunch of backups. It's why, you know, when preseason football begins a week from now, Anderson and I were discussing it earlier. You know, you'll watch maybe the first quarter, starters come out of the game. Most people, you're changing the channel. Like, all right, that was fun. I don't need to watch the backups. You want to watch top-end quarterback talent. So when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, the Chiefs face the toughest schedule of quarterbacks this year. We know their quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. Well, here's who they get to play. Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Derek Carr. You also have Matt Ryan and Trevor Lawrence on the schedule, Trey Lance and Ryan Tannehill. Point being, think about those quarterback matchups you get throughout the year. Patrick Mahomes will face Tom Brady this year. Mahomes will face Josh Allen. Mahomes will face Justin Herbert. He'll face Joe Burrow. It speaks to the amount of quarterback talent and the depth of the AFC this year. But it also speaks to the great job done by the NFL. That you have these great quarterback matchups. You pair the top teams together, which usually have the best quarterbacks. They've done a good job protecting said quarterbacks. And this year on paper, we get quite a few top-end matchups. Mahomes will face the other tier one quarterbacks. Right? If you look at the Broncos, now that they have Russell Wilson, well, they, of course, will face Mahomes and Herbert and Carr in their own division, but you also get Russell Wilson against Matt Stafford this year, and Russell Wilson against Lamar Jackson, and Russell Wilson against Kyler Murray. And yes, Russell Wilson against Trevor Lawrence, too. Right? The Rams with Matt Stafford, he'll face Rodgers this year, and Mahomes and Brady and Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson and Carr and Dak Prescott. Great quarterback matchups. And the league's only as good as those quarterback matchups. Then we get to the two teams closest to home, the Falcons and the Panthers. Here's the thing. As I laid out a moment ago, right, when you're a bad team, you get the easier schedule. And so when you look at this list, it's not perfect, but most of the good teams are towards the top of this list. They have the tougher schedules. Most of the bad teams are towards the bottom of this list. They have the easier schedules. The Panthers are in the bottom 10. Well, that's because they won five games last year. They get some of the schedule breaks. So the Panthers this year have one of the 10 easier schedules based off of the quarterbacks they faced, or they will face. In their division, of course, you have to deal with Tom Brady twice. You'll also have to face Joe Burrow. The Panthers will have to face Matt Stafford this year, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. Doesn't sound like the easiest thing, but that is one of the easier quarterback schedules, which just shows how good quarterback play is in the NFL right now. Then the Panthers also get to face Jared Goff and Jameis Winston and Trey Lance and Daniel Jones and Marcus Mariota and Mitch Trubisky and Drew Lock and Jacoby Brissett. Right, half of their games are against quarterbacks that certainly are beatable. So the Panthers are right in line. They won five games last year. Right, they get one of the easier schedules. The Falcons, however, they did win seven games, but they were under 500, got blown out a lot last year. are going to be even worse this year, and based off of this one exercise, they have the 11th toughest schedule in the league this year. They face the 11th toughest group of quarterbacks. The Falcons will have to face Brady twice, of course. Then you get Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Stafford and Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and probably Baker Mayfield twice. Some tough matchups. You'll also get Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mitch Trubisky, we assume, and Drew Lock. So the Falcons do not catch much of a break. For example, the Falcons finished in third place in their division last year. So too did the Chargers. So the Falcons are on that third place schedule. They face the third place Chargers. We know the Chargers are not a normal third place team. That was a bit of a bad break for the Atlanta Falcons in the schedule. Then obviously you get Brady twice in your own division. We'll see how Baker Mayfield does for Carolina. They do get Cleveland early in the season, so that helps. You imagine Deshaun Watson won't be playing in that game. But when you have to face the AFC North and the NFC West, those are some tough quarterbacks. But the Falcons are 11th on this list. The Panthers are 22nd. That's a big difference. You go into a game, or if you want to look at a schedule and you wonder, like, how many games do we have the better quarterback then? If you look at the Carolina Panthers, Baker Mayfield, how many of these quarterbacks is he better than? Not Tom Brady, not Joe Burrow, not Matt Stafford, not Russell Wilson, not Lamar Jackson, not Kyler Murray. None of those guys. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the games already you go in with that quarterback deficiency. Then you look at the other games. Jared Goff, maybe, right? Could be debated. Probably. Baker probably should be better than Jared Goff in Detroit. Jameis Winston, again, could be debated. Jameis has some pretty good weapons in New Orleans. Baker could have a better year. Maybe should have a better year. Trey Lance, Baker should be better, but, you know, Trey's in a pretty good situation there in San Francisco. Daniel Jones, right? Baker should be better. Marcus Mariota, Mitch Trubisky, Drew Lock, Jacoby Brissett. Baker should be better than those guys. So when you look at the Panthers' schedule, it's why they're bottom 10 in terms of toughest schedules. Theirs is one of the 10 easiest because, yeah, Baker may be better. The Panthers may go into 10 out of their 17 games where they feel like, hey, you know what? We may have the better quarterback. For the Falcons with Marcus Mariota, well, let's run through their schedule quick. You get Tom Brady twice. Yeah, no chance, right? You don't have the better quarterback. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, nope. Matt Stafford, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, nope. Then you get to Baker Mayfield twice. I would say no. Marcus Mariota better than Baker Mayfield? I don't think so. Carson Wentz? Probably not. Jameis Winston? Probably not. Then you get to Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mitch Trubisky, Drew Lock. I would hope Mariota plays better than Trubisky and Lock. They're all kind of in that same camp. Former starters that lost their opportunity and now trying to take advantage of a second chance with another team. Trey Lance, it'd be his first year starting. Maybe Mariota would be better. Justin Fields, with nothing around him, maybe Mariota could be better. But you're only talking about maybe 4 or 5 games that are on the Falcons schedule where you're going to go in thinking, yeah, we have the better quarterback. And a lot of times, the team with the better quarterback is the one that's going to win. The Falcons won't have many of those this year. The Panthers will have a few more, especially if Baker plays well. But it's always interesting to look at this exercise, this list put together. Those are some of my takeaways. It's what the NFL does well. They make things tough on their good teams. It leads to great matchups. They make sure, you know, quarterbacks are healthy. We get a lot of good quarterback matchups. It's exciting for the fans. They make things tough on their good teams. They make it easier on the bad teams. When you look at this, right, the Panthers get some schedule breaks. May have the better quarterback in more than half of their games. The Falcons, they take a beating. Even though the Falcons had a losing record last year and didn't play great and will be bad this year, they don't get many schedule breaks. Only in about 4 or 5 of their games this year, right? Less than a third, could you say, yeah, we probably do have the better quarterback. Can make it a long year for Atlanta. When we come back, who is the third best team in the SEC? Right, Alabama and Georgia seem to be a clear top two. Who's next? We'll get to that next. The Morrow Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Who's the third best team in the SEC this year? Get to that on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery in about 12 minutes. Talk a little soccer. But first, let's look at the SEC. You know, high school football practice has begun around here today, so football's right around the corner, a month away from the start of the college football season. And when you look at the SEC, we assume, right, Alabama, Georgia, two best teams. Clearly the best team in each division. I think the SEC gives us the best chance of having another repeat of last year's conference championship game. But then the question becomes, who's the next best team? I saw Heather Dinich talking this morning on ESPN's Get Up. They were doing a series of topics. She gave her five top players in college football for this year. She gave her three most interesting games in college football this year. And they were talking about Texas A&M and Alabama and that game coming up on October 8th. They did a bold prediction segment where Heather said one of her bold predictions was that Saban was actually going to slap Jimbo Fisher upside the head on the field after the game. I don't think that will happen, but it is pretty bold. And as they were talking about that matchup and talking about Texas A&M, Heather was talking about if Texas A&M has closed the gap with Alabama, are they the third best program now in the SEC, or will they be this year? Here's what Heather had to say about A&M trying to close that gap with Alabama.
His players think that they are. I talked to them last week at SEC Media Days. I asked Jimbo this question almost every year for the past couple of years. So they think they are. They're recruiting that way. They beat them last year. Let's not forget that. But it takes more than just a win against Alabama to really become elite in the SEC. You've got to win the West. They couldn't do that last year. They lost to Arkansas. I like Arkansas a lot this year with KJ Jefferson and their coach Sam Pittman. So I think in order to prove that you're elite in the SEC West, you've got to win the West, and they're not there yet.
Heather Dinich this morning. Yeah, you know, it's like the old, it's become a cliche, it's become a joke, a talking point, but you may be old enough to remember the conversations of Joe Flacco. Is he elite? And that was the first time we really started to throw that term around in football. And now, you know, elite we always use. Is this quarterback elite? How many elite quarterbacks are there? Is this program elite? But Joe Flacco, that was always the debate. Is he an elite quarterback? And it became like a caricature of itself because of how often we talked about it and the people making the claims. Joe Flacco is elite. And that idea of is he or is he not, and we kept having the conversations, even when like there wasn't enough evidence there to even have the conversation. Sure, he did win a Super Bowl. Can't take that away. He played really good in the playoffs. But otherwise, right, somebody doesn't become elite because of 1 month of football. And so, point being, I think it's similar to Texas A&M. Texas A&M is almost getting to that Texas territory, or Miami or USC, where every year we ask, are they back? Every year we say, like, Texas A&M, is this the year? Are they now closing the gap with Alabama? Are they one of the best teams in the SEC? And then you look back at last year and remember that they finished in fifth place in their own division. They were 500. And we're having this conversation about, you know, Texas A&M, are they closing the gap with Alabama? Are they the third best team in the SEC? I don't know if they're even the third best team in their own division. Enough for the Texas A&M hype. They have two things going for them, much like Joe Flacco had Super Bowl MVP going for him. For Texas A&M, two things. One, they did beat Alabama last year. That's big. Now, they did go under 500 in the rest of their SEC games, but, you know, you beat Alabama. It's a big win. Only them in Georgia can say so when it came to last year. And then number two, of course, is the recruiting. They've just put together the best recruiting class in college football history. But at a certain point, you then have to show it on the field. You got to stop with the recruiting. It's like the buddy who always tells you things and then never follows through. At a certain point, you stop believing him. I got to see action before I start believing your words. You could tell me all the sweet promises in the world, but you never actually follow through. A&M, at a certain point, like, you're going to become numb, no longer listen. Even before this past year, they averaged a top 10 recruiting class under Jimbo. You could sell me on all these great recruits all you want. You're not winning enough games. I don't care about the recruits. Right? You stop listening to it, just like you stop listening to that buddy. Who, oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? I'll do that thing. I'll send you the money tomorrow. And they never do. You've been waiting months for them to pay you back. Oh, yeah, tomorrow I'll Venmo you. Never comes. Right? You tune them out. So, yeah, it's not going to happen. A&M, you're going to tune out the recruiting rankings if they don't start winning more. But the two things they have going for them, they did beat Alabama last year, and they do a good job and have done a really good job in recruiting. Are they the third best team in the SEC? No, I don't think so. And again, I don't know if they're the third best team in their own division. They weren't last year. But here's the problem for Jimbo Fisher, is that he's already kind of been passed by in his own division. Right? Sam Pittman was hired after Jimbo Fisher. Right now, who seems to be in the better spot, Arkansas or Texas A&M? I think Arkansas. They had a better year last year. I think Arkansas will be better than A&M this year. Ole Miss hired Lane Kiffin after Jimbo Fisher. Who had a better year last year? Ole Miss. Who will have a better year this year? This is more debatable. I think maybe, though, Ole Miss once again. Who do you feel better about moving forward? Maybe I'm the outlier. Maybe I'm in the minority. I don't know. I feel better about Ole Miss's future than Texas A&M. I haven't seen anything from A&M. You came close to making the playoffs 2 years ago. Did not. And you beat Alabama last year. Great. That's what the resume is. And you recruit pretty well. All right. Haven't been good enough. This year, when I look at the SEC, I think Georgia, I think Alabama are certainly the two best teams, not in that order, in the SEC. I think Arkansas is the third best team in the SEC. I think they finished second in the West. I would also take my chances with Tennessee this year over Texas A&M. I think Tennessee will have a better record or a better year than A&M. I'd be willing to potentially take my chances with Ole Miss as well, having a better year than A&M. And I'll tell you what, about the future, I think I feel better about LSU as well, with Brian Kelly now there. Maybe not for this year, but over the next 5 years, I might give LSU a better chance to win before Texas A&M. They're not the third best team in the conference, and it's interesting how much attention and focus we pay to them every year, because I don't think it's really warranted. They should be a lot better. They recruit well. They got a big-time coach. They pay him a lot of money. He's won a national championship before. They got a lot of resources, plenty of talent in the state, but it doesn't add up on the field. And you hire Sam Pittman to Arkansas. First-time head coach, offensive line coach. He's about 60 years old, right? Never been a head coach before. Comes to Arkansas. They hadn't won a conference game in 2 years. And you give Sam Pittman a year and a half, he already has his program in a better spot than Texas A&M. So we could talk about, is A&M closing the gap between them and Alabama? Right now, they kind of have to close the gap between them and Arkansas first. Sam Pittman passed them by real quick, like they were tied to a post. Lane Kiffin comes to Ole Miss. They were a bit of a mess. Lane Kiffin arrives. And by year number two, they're ranked in the top 10 and won 10 games last year. Finished in second place in the division. Took him a year and a half. By the way, Lane Kiffin, offensive coach. Jimbo Fisher, offensive coach. Lane had a great quarterback last year in Matt Corral. Jimbo has not had a top 100 passing offense at A&M. He's been passed by in 18 months. So, no, A&M's not really closing the gap. They're not the third best team in the conference. And really, we pay too much attention towards them. They've already been passed by within about 18 months. Lane Kiffin comes into the conference. He's doing better in less than 2 years. Sam Pittman, of all guys. I mocked that hire. Boy, was I wrong. But he takes over at Arkansas, who is in the basement. Give him 2 years. Boom. They're probably the third best team in the SEC. Give Brian Kelly 2 years. He'll probably get LSU back up there as well. We'll see about Mike Leach. Not too high on him. But we're waiting around at Texas A&M with Jimbo. Like, all right, when are they going to get up to that spot? When are they going to be actually the third best team? When are they going to close the gap with Bama? Looked like they did 2 years ago. They've taken a step back since. And others have passed them by. I think Arkansas is the third best team in the SEC. And I also feel better about Tennessee this year. Maybe even Kentucky this year. Think about that. Than Texas A&M. And that's a problem for the Aggies and Jimbo Fisher. When we come back, we'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery. Robbie Crawford is back with the Battery. We'll catch up with him next. It's the Mara Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mara Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery from time to time. The Battery, they're coming off a draw at Colorado Springs last Friday. And they'll be home this weekend, Saturday night. It's also Hometown Heroes Night, 7:30 match at Patriots Point. Get your tickets now online at charlestonbattery.com. Go out and see the Battery. Saturday night is their back home. Hopefully it's a beautiful Saturday night. Go watch some soccer here in the Lowcountry. Cheer on the Battery. And you can also see the return of Robbie Crawford, who joins us now, a midfielder for the Battery, who's back with the Battery in now what is his third season with Charleston. He's with us now. Robbie, good afternoon. How are you?
Afternoon. How's it going? Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate the time. So how does it feel to be back in Charleston? You played with the Battery for 2 years. You were with a different team this year, just signed back with the Battery here about a week ago. How does it feel to be back in Charleston now?
Yeah, it feels great. A little bit like I didn't leave, and at the same time, there's been a lot of changes. So it's been exciting to return, and just really grateful for the club for having me back, and obviously got a special connection to the club in the city. So it's really nice to come back for my third year.
Yeah, absolutely. What did it feel like, or what did it mean to you when you heard about the opportunity and you were coming back to the Battery? What did it feel like a week ago when you realized, hey, back to Charleston, go play for the Battery?
It's kind of been in the works just for maybe a few weeks, so it was exciting hearing the interest and the possibility of it. It was a little bit of a surprise, but at the same time, really exciting. And then once it was official, that was obviously the icing on the cake, and just to get it all done and to come back, it was all, like I say, pretty surreal, but at the same time, really exciting.
Now, you debuted with them, or re-debuted, if you will, at Colorado Springs the other night. What was it like to, you know, mid-season here, try to jump right back in with the team and to get started again last week?
Like I say, a lot of familiar faces, so in some ways it was quite easy. And then there's obviously a lot of new guys, so I think the team are still gelling. They're trying new formation the last few weeks, and I think it suited them. So it's just on me to kind of adapt to that and get used to the new system and new coaches and everything they want. But I'd like to think that I did pretty well and sort of gelled in quite nicely, and we got a good result, and coaches seemed happy. So that's all I care about, and just helping the team get some wins and start climbing the table again.
Yeah, for sure. And now you guys play at home on Saturday night against Sacramento Republic FC. So are you looking forward to getting back out there in front of the home crowd at Patriots Point this weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. It should be an interesting game for a few reasons, obviously. Returning to Patriots, and I've actually played Sacramento twice already this year over on the West Coast. And just for a lot of reasons to return, it's going to be a nice night for sure.
Have the coaching staff or teammates been asking you for a scouting report about this team since you faced them a few times?
It was mentioned a couple of times today, actually. Obviously, they had their big cup win last night, so it should be interesting to see what kind of state they're in, what their team's like, and how they look. But for the most part, we just try and focus on what we do. Guys had a good couple of results, like I said, and we just got to bring that momentum into Saturday and focus on us.
After spending 2 years here in Charleston with the Battery, what was it like to go out to the West Coast? I don't know how much time you ever spent out there in California previously, but what was it like to be out there playing soccer and living out on the West Coast here earlier this year?
It was definitely a new experience for me. I'd visited California once before, but never really for an extended period of time. So, it was a really nice town. Similar to Charleston in some ways, just not as hot and a little bit smaller version. But it was a brand new club, so new teammates, new coaches. It was all exciting, and like I say, I'm really happy to be back. But I did enjoy my spell over there for all. It was pretty short and sweet.
Talking about Robbie Crawford of the Charleston Battery. Now, I'm originally from Connecticut. I can tell you that I miss certain things. There's a pizza place that I miss all the time. That when I go back home, I can't wait to go get that pizza. I know it wasn't maybe that long of a time, but when you spent 2 years in Charleston, then you go out to the West Coast, now you're back in Charleston. When you get back to town, is there, sure, you know, were you missing something around here? Was there something you've had to do already, like your first week or two back, that, man, I got to get to that restaurant, or I got to go to that beach, or, you know, what was it that you miss most about Charleston?
That's a good question. Where have we been? I'm trying to think. Home team it did hit the spot, actually, when I had that. They supplied for the boys. Good Southern cuisine right there.
Yes.
Isle of Thames, that's probably my favorite beach around here. Just in general, obviously, my wife's here, actually, so that was probably the most important part, coming back to her and getting to hang out. And I was just happy going anywhere that she was there once we got back. But in general, it's amazing being back, and still got a few regular spots to go back to.
Yeah. Hey, good answer on the wife. I could imagine, certainly, that's the biggest thing. So you went out to go play California. She stayed here in Charleston during that time?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, she's actually pregnant, so it was just a lot easier for her to be in town. And,
oh, wow.
see her regular doctor, and she's also got family here and school here as well. So, yeah, just a few reasons. So
yeah,
that was definitely one of the challenges of being over there. But, yeah, amazing to be back.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah, for a number of different reasons, it's exciting for you to be back here in Charleston. Hey, let me ask you while we're on that subject, because of course you're originally from Scotland. We've had you on the show before. We talked about your upbringing and everything. When you came over to the States, what would you say was the biggest cultural shock for you? What was like the biggest surprise or shock of like, oh, that's how things are operated around here? What was it for you that stood out?
I think people are quite open here, quite friendly, I think. In the UK, we're quite not reserved, but I'm kind of used to not really sharing much or whatever. I don't know. There's something about the atmosphere here. People are much more welcoming and friendly, which is really nice. And that probably stood out most of all from the start. Like, general Southern hospitality, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
But yeah, not that people in Scotland are mean or anything, but I just feel like that was something that hit me, and it was really nice to be welcomed that way. And obviously, this is my third year here, so it's obviously a place that's close to my heart.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. I guess I have to cancel my trip to Scotland now after
yeah,
that.
No, I don't know if anyone else. Genuinely a very nice place, nice people, but yeah.
No, I'm sure it is. Talking with Robbie Crawford from The Battery. Since returning here to Charleston, have you heard, social media around town? Have fans reached out to you? You've always been considered a fan favorite of The Battery. What's been the what's been the reception of your return? Obviously, Saturday will be the first time playing in front of the home crowd, but have you heard from different Battery fans here over the past week plus since coming back to the Battery?
Actually, just speaking of warm welcomes, I've had a lot of messages and taken back by how many people got in touch and wished me well from Monterey. And then, as I said, come back to Charleston, a lot of fans were getting in touch. And I was actually at the last home game for all. I wasn't in the squad. I was there watching, so I think the secret got out that night, and a few of them were excited to hear that I was coming back. So that was obviously really nice, and gives you a lot of confidence as a player, and just makes you want to go out and impress for them. And like I said earlier, just help the team in any way to get some wins and start climbing the league table.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we kind of touched on this earlier, but what's it like, when you join a new team? Other than I asked you about playing the other night, you jump right in with a game, but it's a little bit different, I imagine, because you do have experience, like you said, playing here, playing with some of these guys. But when you try to fit back into a roster, do you try to find, how do you find that comfort where you try to find your spot for the team, like what you bring to the table, while these guys have obviously, you're in the middle of the season, they have their certain roles. How do you try to blend in with the team once again once you come back in the middle of a year?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's not something I've ever dealt with before in terms of joining the club mid-season. But I think it's just about finding the right balance between not disrupting the guys that are already there and not trying to ruffle any feathers. It's more just trying to integrate myself and show what I can do and do whatever the coach asks of me, and then at the same time put pressure on the guys that are starting, because, healthy competition is good for any team, and that's just what I look to bring. I've obviously been playing for maybe this is my 12th season as a professional, so I like to think there's quite a lot of experience and can even help the guys that are already in the squad that are, new to the team. And that's just kind of the balance in any team, trying to do well for yourself and the rest of the guys.
Couple last things before we let you go. Talk with Robbie Crawford of the Charleston Battery, who's back with the team now and will be re-debuting on Saturday night. Get your tickets at charlestonbattery.com. What should we expect for Saturday's game? As you mentioned, you have faced Sacramento a couple of times. You're back here at the Battery. For those going out to the game on Saturday, what should we expect from this matchup Saturday night?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think the guys are putting together a little bit of momentum. We've got 4 points out of the last six, so we're just looking to build on that on Saturday. I think we're in a good place. Obviously, Sacramento played last night and had a long game, and they've got a lot of traveling to do to get over here, so it's on us to make the most of all of that. It's not a given that it's just going to be easy and they're going to be tired. I think they've got massive confidence at the minute and know what it takes to win. So it's definitely on us to try find the solutions to help us get the win.
Earlier this week was National Bagpipe Day. Now, I apologize if this is a stereotype. you can educate me. But being from Scotland, do you know how to play? Have you ever played the bagpipes before?
No, I can't say I ever have tried or It's pretty niche. There's not that many people that play them, but I didn't even know it was national. How did you know that? Did you know that, or did you research for me coming on?
No, I just happen to see, I always look. There's these random really? National days. You know, yesterday was National Chicken okay. Tender Day, so I always look every day just to see what the national day is. And after I saw you were coming on the show today, it dawned on me that I think it was Tuesday was National Bagpipe Day, so I had to ask you.
There you go. No, I've never had any experience with it. They're played at like weddings, maybe New Year's Eve, and then that's about my only interaction with them. But no, nothing to do with me.
Okay. Well, you got a year just about until next National Bagpipe Day, so you have a year to learn the bagpipes. Before we let you go, due date for your pregnant wife. When's the child expected?
She is expected October 9th. So we're getting there, counting down the weeks.
Yeah, a few more months. Well, hey, Robbie, good to have you back in the Low Country. I know the Battery fans are excited to see you once again Saturday night. Appreciate you joining us, and wish you and your wife all the best and the perfect health and everything here these next few months as you guys wait the birth of your child. Appreciate you joining us.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. It's kind of you, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, pleasure's all ours.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Robbie Crawford back with the Charleston Battery. Spent the last 2 years with the Battery and then started this year out in California with a different team and then re-signed with the Battery just about a week ago, and he'll make his return to Patriots Point on Saturday, and you could be there to go watch the Battery. It's also Hometown Heroes Night, which is always a great thing, and it's Saturday night against Sacramento Republic FC. Starts at 7:30. Get your tickets now at charlestonbattery.com. Battery are coming off a win and a draw, so playing a little better soccer, playing some good soccer here the last couple weeks, and go out there and see them on Saturday. October. The season ends October 15th. Regular season ends for the Battery October 15th. So you're talking right there at the end of the season. Not terrible timing, right? You try to get the season out of the way first, and then you go have a kid in the offseason, and when you have a little more downtime, maybe that's not too bad. The Battery have a handful of home games left, so get your tickets while you still can. After this one on Saturday, they don't play again until August 27th, about a month from now. And they have, I think it's six more home matches. So get your tickets online at charlestonbattery.com and go see the Battery before the season's over. It's always a great time over there. And you may even hear my voice as the PA. I got to see. I got to follow back up to see if they still need a fill-in this weekend, potentially, to be the PA guy once again. But go get your tickets. Go see the Battery this weekend, Hometown Heroes Night at Patriots Point. I hate to be that uneducated American asking about the bagpipes in Scotland, but I had a buddy growing up. I had a friend who played the bagpipes. And he'd wear his kilt. Now, he was Irish. His family was Irish, but he would play the bagpipes, and it was always kind of like more of like a bit almost. Like, he actually learned how to play the bagpipes, and he could play them, but he used it to his advantage as some sort of joke. He would just walk down like random streets playing the bagpipes. He would do it at school, like just to goof around with people. He'd show up at a party playing the bagpipes. Like, it's almost like we were talking earlier about these random skills you may have. That was another one where that was just kind of like a conversational piece or some sort of just a joke to pull at different parties. A random skill that you have that nobody else does, that when you tell somebody, they don't really believe you, and then you prove them wrong by busting out the bagpipes and actually playing a song on them. So I grew up with somebody who could play the bagpipes. It was National Bagpipe Day the other day. If you play the bagpipes, happy belated National Bagpipe Day. Yesterday was National Chicken Tender Day. I don't even know what today is, but every day is some sort of random national holiday. And it just so happened the other day was National Bagpipe. I don't know why they need a whole day for the bagpipes, National Bagpipes Day. I don't know if it's that popular anyways. Today is National Water Park Day. That's a good one. National Chili Dog Day. Now we're talking. National Milk Chocolate Day. Love milk chocolate. I tell you what, strawberry milk, I should say, is very underrated. Everybody focuses on the milk chocolate. You focus on the chocolate milkshakes. Well, this is National Milk Chocolate Day, so I guess I'm reversing it. It's not chocolate milk. It's milk chocolate. So it's actually the chocolate. So it's not the drink. It's the chocolate itself, which is also fantastic. Go get yourself some milk chocolate today for dessert. National Refreshment Day. So there you go. Now we could talk milkshakes. And National Intern Day. So happy National Intern Day to all those summer interns out there busting their humps and trying to get started. Happy National Intern Day. So we got a lot going on today in these random national holidays. National Chili Dog Day. That sounds pretty good.
I could go for a chili dog right now.
We'll wrap up your Thursday when we come back. It's the Mora Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Mora Midday Show.
Wrapping up your Thursday in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. And the podcast is also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page. While there, you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And through the app, you can listen to the show live or on demand from anywhere in the world. The podcasts are available there as well. Appreciate listeners checking in from at least 11 different states and multiple countries on this Thursday. And appreciate the time last segment from Robbie Crawford of the Charleston Battery, who has returned to the club here in the Lowcountry. Go get your tickets at charlestonbattery.com. Go check them out Saturday night as they're back home. But appreciate the time from Robbie. If you missed that conversation or missed anything else from the show today, go find it on demand, ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. What random instrument do you wish you could play? I mean, the bagpipes would be pretty cool if you had that skill, because it's such a unique instrument that I don't think a ton of people do play the bagpipes, at least here in the States. As I said, I had a friend growing up who could play them. But that's such a unique one that so few people can do it, right? You feel more special. I always say that. We love the exclusive nature of different things. The more there is of something, the less special it is, the less you care about it, which is my argument. I'll turn a bagpipe conversation into the college football playoff conversation, but it's why I've always said we don't need to expand the college football playoff, right? It's special because there's so few bagpipe players, it seems. If you could play the bagpipes, that's pretty cool. But the more people, if we had more people playing bagpipes, well, now it's not as cool. Same idea with the college football playoff. The random instrument I always wish, growing up, I would mess around with the drums. I played the drums a little bit. I wasn't very good. It's challenging to have both hands and both feet all do something different at the same time. I just couldn't do that. I could get the two hands down. That's fine. I could keep two rhythms with the two hands. Then you throw in the feet. Once you gave me like a third different rhythm to keep, I was out. That's where I would struggle. I used to play the drums growing up, play the guitar. But the one random instrument I always wish I could play, not the bagpipes, but it was the harmonica. And I used to have a harmonica. I think I had multiple at one point. And I used to mess around with them, but I never really put in the effort and really learned. But that would be the one. And that's another one, too, because you could just carry it around with you. The bagpipes, you can't just show up with bagpipes somewhere and say, hey, guess what? I can play. Right? But the harmonica, you can kind of, you set up the conversation. You go down that road. And then when you're on the subject of a harmonica, oh, man, it'd be cool to play a song like your John Popper and the Blues Traveler. Then you bust out the harmonica. You can keep it in your pocket if you really wanted to. You could walk around with one. Keep it in your bag. Bust out the harmonica at the party, at the bar. You start jamming out in that thing. That's pretty good. The harmonica is really underrated. If you go back and you look at some of the great songs and music over the years, right, some of the best ones have the harmonica. Think of a great solo from John Popper and the harmonica. I think back to a great garage rock band from the 60s. Count Five, Psychotic Reaction, and the great harmonica solo in that song. Fantastic. Bagpipes would be cool. If I could play any random instrument, I think I wish it would be the harmonica. Once taught myself the piano, guitar, drums, but the harmonica is the elusive one. I wish I could play well. If you ever miss anything from the show, find it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. In the meantime, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Mora Midday Show on ESPN Radio.